You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Sunday the 9th of September. And we've got a not the busiest day in prospect, but should still be a fun day of racing at York on a Sunday. And a fun well with this toll over in Ireland as well. It's all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 in the afternoon. Darren Owen will be your presenter and he'll be joined by Alistair Jones and Paddy Aspall throughout the course of the afternoon. Here on the podcast though, my name's John Gibby. I'm joined by Andrew Mount here in the Racing Radio studio. Andrew, how are you?
Greetings, young John. I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Nice to see you.
You're
looking well and happy and full of the joys of autumn.
Yeah, autumn. It's the jump season that's coming. I've got my big coat out for the first time today.
Excellent. And well, I'd imagine, given that you're about 6.5 foot tall, all your clothing's big. But
that's true. But like
your
you
extra
know,
big coat,
bulky. Is how we'll phrase it.
And are you looking forward to the jump season?
I am looking forward to the jump season. I felt like I've had a bit of a shift over the past maybe 18 months or so. I always used to consider myself to be more of a flat fan.
Yeah.
I feel maybe after a couple of slightly underwhelming flat seasons, I now sort of consider myself maybe a little bit more partial towards the jumps.
So. I think what I find is by the time you get to sort of October time, you're ready for something a bit different. And it's as soon as you see Cheltenham in the declarations at the 5-day stage, you start getting a bit excited about the prospect of seeing some decent jumping action.
So we'll look forward to that, but more immediately we'll look ahead to the action coming up on Sunday, and that does include a jumps meeting at Fontwell and also at York. You've got two selections for us, one each of those two UK meetings. Which is the first?
First of all, we're going to Fontwell for the 2 o'clock race, a mare's handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 5.5 furlongs. And the one I'm going with here is called La Pampalaise. Which, excuse my French, which is number 4 of the 5 runners. And this one's having her first run for Dr. Richard Newland. Used to be with Gary Moore. Hasn't been seen for over 500 days since pulling up at Plumpton. Pulled up the time before that as well. That was on Boxing Day 2016 here at Fontwell. But the angle in here is backing switchers, horses that transfer yards and line up at the first time of asking for Dr. Richard Newland. Now, since he's been training, when he runs a new acquisition in a handicap hurdle, he's won with 30 of his 105 runners, a strike rate of almost 29%, and backing them blind would have resulted in a profit of £22.46 to a £1 level stake. That's over 21% on turnover. And I expect this one to go well at the first time of asking for the new yard, despite the long absence. Hopefully we'll get something of a price about this one as well because of that long break.
On the betting forecast I've got in front of me is the outsider of the field.
Excellent.
So hopefully that's the way it goes.
Yeah, might be one worth getting on early then in that case.
So that's on Wales, 2 o'clock. And you've also got a section for us at York.
Yeah, this is a tricky 6-runner listed race. So not a big field, but plenty you can give chances to. And one that caught the eye was Perfect Angel, ridden by Jamie Spencer, trained by Richard Hughes, having her first run for the yard as a 3-year-old. Used to be with Andrew Balding. Now, Richard Hughes does really well with switchers like Dr. Richard Newland, horses he takes over from other yards. But you back them blind, you make a good profit. But he does particularly well with them when they're coming back from a long break. And in his relatively short training career, Richard Hughes has had 22 new acquisitions that have come back from a break of 150 days or longer. And 4 of the 22 won, 18%, for a profit of £31 to a £1 level stake. And he also had several that ran well in defeat as well. And I just thought, at what should probably be a very big price, to small stakes, it was worth taking a chance on Perfect Angel, having improved over the winter. And could perhaps make a winning start to her 4-year-old career.
Favourite almost certainly going to be Lamato, of course, former Group 1 winner. Is it significant that Connections choose to go for this listed race rather than the Sprint Cup on the Saturday?
Yeah, very, very possibly. Or I suppose it could be ground related, really, when you think about it, because the ground at Haydock has gone completely against Lamarto.
Well, I've lost track of what ground Lamarto is supposed to go on, because they've given excuses either way in the past.
He needs grass that's 1.23 centimetres tall and a particular shade of green. Otherwise, it's the jockey's fault, probably. But so, yeah, when you look at you know, Lamarto's wins, officially, you know, good to firm, good to firm, good, etc. You know, I think you guys, you might find a few sort of decent efforts in defeat if you go back far enough on yielding ground. But the ground at Haydock would just been completely wrong for him. But yeah, I'm not, you know, totally convinced, you know, giving the weight away in a small field like this will be ideal. And if there is a bit of rain around, as there has been in Leeds on Saturday morning, then who knows, Lamarto could be vulnerable.
So that's a 2.55 at York, the listed Garraby Stakes, their feature race on Sunday. And without having looked extensively at the cards, I can only imagine the best race of the whole day. And Andrew likes Perfect Angel for Richard Hughes and Jamie Spencer. So now we're going to do something a little bit different now here on the Daily Racing Podcast. Andrew, we're going to ask you for a few horses to follow. Of course, you are, how should we phrase this? You are a keen student of form and statistics. Yeah. So you're in a good position to potentially give us some good horses to follow.
Yeah, I mean, I like, you know, what you'd call horse profiling and, you know, finding the ideal conditions, or what I perceive to be the ideal conditions for various horses. That's how I sort of started in writing and journalism. I used to produce the Trend Horses books, sort of essays on individual horses and what I thought their best race conditions were. And so we'll try and find a few angles for horses that ran on Friday and caught the eye, and we may have discussed in the studio yesterday. And first up is one owned by the aforementioned Tom Morley, which is Heartstopper. Now, this one won yesterday, a race worth £19,000 to the winner. But the slightly amusing thing was that Tom didn't think he had much of a chance, because you know, last time out was a 2-1 shot at Brighton and could only finish third. The time before was 10th of 12 at Goodwood. But when this one was with Michael Bell, he went into my tracker after a sort of fair run from a poor draw at Newmarket last summer. And I sort of came to the conclusion that he needed a flat track. Mm. And you look at his wins, Haydock, flat track, Yarmouth twice, flat track, Haydock again, and Windsor. So although he did finish second by a head once at Newmarket, he tends not to like undulating tracks. And you know, Tom was of the opinion that he wouldn't go on the soft ground yesterday. He did. It might be a case of all of them in that small field were inconvenienced by it, and you know, it was a case, he might just got away with it. So here's a horse who's got winning form on fast ground and very soft ground, but I just think it's the type of track. And so when he's running at the undulation, over the undulations at Brighton, Goodwood, Newmarket, etc., I think he's one to take on. But I think he is probably well handicapped, because he just hasn't had many opportunities to run in what I perceive to be his ideal race conditions. So on turf, on a level track, I think Heartstopper can perhaps build on that and follow up that Haydock win.
So Heartstopper, a potential horse to keep an eye on. Have you got any others?
Yes, indeed. One to catch the eye at Ascot yesterday was Zweyan for Andrew Balding. That was in the 4.20 race. And was a 3-1 joint favourite, could only finish second to Silver Courts after racing prominently. But there were only 9 runners that day, and my Zweyan theory is that this one is best when getting a lead and you know, sitting just behind a very strong pace. Now, since joining Andrew Balding from William Haggis, he's only won the once, and that was the biggest field he encountered for his new connections, a field of 12 at Chelmsford. When he sat behind the front runners and came through to win by a head. Now, you look at his wins. First time he ever won, it was a small field maiden, 5 runners, but he was the 4-6 favourite and he outclassed his opposition. Since then, his wins have come in fields of 12, 13, 11 and 12. So I think it's a case of the bigger the field, the better for this one. And I can see him winning, you know, a decent big field handicap, perhaps somewhere like Ascot in the autumn. I just don't think yesterday's conditions were ideal for him. I think in the circumstances, he probably did well to finish second, and there could still be more to come from him for his current yard after just a handful of runs for Andrew Balding.
How difficult is it at this time of year when you're trying to assess horses, their profiles, the trends, that sort of thing, and just their form in general, when we get to the point of the flat season where the weather is beginning to turn a little bit and, you know, we're not guaranteed that good to form, well, never guaranteed good to firm ground in this country, but especially this year, you know, we've had months and months and months of good to firm, good to firm, good to firm, good to firm, and now as we get every year. It always seems to happen on the Sprint Cup weekend. That's the turning point. It starts to rain and we have soft ground Sprint Cups, we have soft ground Champions Day, ARC. All these races are, half the time.
Underwater.
Underwater, yeah, exactly.
Well, I suppose you've got a lot of good horses who've not been running over the summer because of the ground. Or what I've noticed is that some trainers are running them on the all-weather. They perhaps don't want an all-weather surface. They want soft ground, but they can't run them on fast turf because they could risk injury. So they're running them on Polytrack or Tapeta, perhaps not necessarily suited by it. So you're going to get a lot of sort of well-handicapped horses turning up in the autumn on turf. I mean, one good recent example, MJ Jack. This one won for Carl Burke. I think it was on Thursday at Haydock. Hadn't been seen since disappointing in April. Been missing since, but no sort of injury reason for it. It was just a case of waiting for the softer going. And then it was a 4-1 shot, hacked up by 4.5 lengths in a Haydock conditions contest. So in a heel, took his record to 5 wins from 15 starts. And an even better strike rate if you only consider the runs on soft going. And there's going to be a few like that that are just, you'll look at their form figures. They won't be particularly impressive. Maybe they've had one run on ground that was officially good, but in reality was a bit quicker and they didn't get away with it. Maybe a run or two on the all weather that wasn't ideal for them. And so you'll see sort of 3 or 4 defeats. So it'll be a case of just looking back to that autumn form and the April, early May form when we had proper soft ground.
We're running out of time, Andrew, but any others you want to quickly mention?
There was just one at Kempton last night, which was a market drifter. It still managed to finish second in the 8:15 race. It's All a Joke, and that one's trained by Archie Watson. First run for the yard, second time out for Archie Watson is generally the time to back them. If you back his Switches, recent acquisition, second time for the yard, 13 winners from 40 runners, almost 33% strike rate, plus £28.19 to a £1 level stake. This one ducked towards the inside rail to challenge, which was not the place to be at Kempton on Friday night. And I think second time for the yard will be when to catch It's All a Joke.
And £7 claimer on board there, if there was maybe a more experienced rider on, with all due respect.
Yeah, that's something I hadn't considered, but that's another good point. I like that.
So It's All a Joke, another horse to potentially follow for Andrew then going forward, looking back on Friday's racing. But please join us on Racing Radio on Sunday for all the day's action, and join us again for the Daily Racing podcast tomorrow when Mark Walton will be your host. Andrew, thanks for being with us today.
It's a pleasure, John. Have a good weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.